Welcome to St. James Westminster. Today is the fourth Sunday of Lent, and so we have brought out our rose vestments. It's Pink Sunday. Lent can be a little long, bit of a slog sometimes, and we are just over halfway through, and so we wear pink as a lighter shade of purple to take a breath, to have a slightly lighter fast for a few days, to remember that Easter is not far off. So you might think that because it is the Sunday where we wear pink vestments, we would have a nice, short, concise gospel that's all happy. That is not the case this morning. So please know that we will stand for the proclamation of the gospel as normal. But if you would like to stay seated, or if you need to sit down halfway through, please feel free. It is a long one. Also, we have crosses here just in front of the lectern. You may remember that on Candlemas, we handed out crosses to all of the children. Many people asked if we had extras. So we do now, and we'll have them at the side door at the end of the service. I have a few more announcements, but I think that John has one as well.
Hi, everyone. My announcement's about an anniversary. So 6 years ago, COVID happened, and we were shut down. And Steve and the Reverend Canon Keith Nethery, our rector at the time, said, what are we going to do? We need to put a service out to our congregation. And so they called John Gardy, And John came and recorded the service and put it online. And we have had a service in this church every Sunday, all through COVID. And I just wanted to acknowledge that and thank John for all his effort in bringing that to us.
And finally, please, oh, not finally.
Good morning. I am here to represent London Pro Musica, a choir which rehearses and performs in this church, along with several other members. We're all going to stand right now. All the people in Pro Musica. Okay. If you have tickets, stay standing. Turn around. After you have bought all my tickets, you can go and see these people. All right, this is for Good Friday. It's a tradition that we have been doing for at least 3 years now of a performance on Good Friday at 7:30 in the evening. Last year, we did two glorious requiems. We're going to continue that tradition this year with a requiem, but this one's a little different. It's a German requiem written by Johannes Brahms, and it is quite stunningly beautiful. I have tickets myself, and those other people have tickets. They are $30 each. I am going to offer you all four for the low, low price of $120. So after you've bought mine, you can see the other people. Thank you very much.
Thank you. How very generous. Easter is not far off. Spring, I promise, is around the corner. St. Patrick's Day is sooner than both of those. So we would also like to welcome and give thanks that Celtic Shift are here with us this morning, adding to our already wonderful music program. Please stand.
Return to me. Return to me, God calls, return to me, to our hearts, to our home, to God alone, we turn to you, O God, return to you.
Well, friends, Lent is really long, like Reverend Ann said. Lent actually means lengthen, long, and we are in the middle of it. Journeys are long, and they take many turns, as we see in our Lenten pathway, right? What have you got in your hands that I gave you? Can you hold it up and look into it? What do you see when you look into this little mirror? What do you see? Yeah.
Myself.
You see yourself. Oh my goodness, so do I. Do you see yourself? Yes. Well, today, in the middle of Lent, just when we think we're tired and we don't want to go on anymore, we get a little refresh. And that's why they're wearing a lighter shade of purple. They're wearing pink today. And today, we're going to hear about seeing and how God sees us. Look again. Can you see yourself in that mirror? Look again. Take a peek. Look at the beautiful and beloved face in this mirror. Today, we're going to hear about how God sees beyond anything that we can imagine. And God sees the beauty and the wonder and the belovedness, and that each and every one of us have a job to do for God, all reflected. And you know what? You know where else I see reflections right now? If you all look at me, in your very eyes, there's a flash of reflection and light shining out from all of your eyes. You are filled with belovedness, with a spark of God inside us, each and every one of us. So, Isabella is going to light the candle. I'm going to say a prayer, and we're going to repeat the prayer back. And then before we go, we're going to move our little pilgrims, our little journeyers, to the next candle, okay? So can we do all of that? That's a lot of jobs. Okay. So repeat after me. Holy God,
Holy God,
shine your light to guide our feet.
Shine your light to guide our feet.
Show your love to all we meet.
Show your love to all we meet.
As we journey together and follow your way.
As we journey together and follow your way.
May we grow closer to you each day.
May we grow closer to you.
And we all say together, Amen. Let's leave our mirrors on the path too, so everybody can see the reflection of God in each and every one of us.
Almighty God, through the waters of baptism, your Son has made us children of light. May we ever walk in his light and show forth your glory in the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the proclamation of the word.
A reading from the first book of Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, where I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him, trembling, and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he's keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and he had beautiful eyes, and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, Jesus spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen the man before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it was someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The one called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is Jesus?" And the man said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "Jesus put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "Jesus is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." And the man said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." The man answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I've told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sin, and you're trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the man answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." And Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." The man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, O God, King of eternal glory. Praise to you, O Christ, King of eternal glory.
Praise.
Please be seated. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Well, I think someone forgot to tell the neighbors and the religious leaders of this town. Now, to be fair, when we recite that summary of the law, when we gather and use the Book of Common Prayer service, we are quoting Jesus. But Jesus was not the first person to connect love of God with love of neighbor. And the people of Jesus' day would have known that we cannot reasonably claim to love God while disrespecting and disregarding our neighbors, which makes the behavior of the neighbors of this man, religious leaders in their community, stand out even more. You could perhaps understand their confusion if he had been a newcomer. We could perhaps forgive their skepticism if this man had been from one or two towns away. But our gospel tells us that it is the man's neighbors who question his very identity as he stands in their midst declaring, "I am the man." The people who should have known him best, who had a responsibility to look out for him, the people who had been commanded to love them as they love themselves. So their confusion, their inability to see and hear him, their failure to ever even use his name, all seem to invite our judgment. Perhaps we even join this man in his growing frustration as he is asked to repeat his testimony over and over. Not because the people want to hear the good news, not in joyful celebration of what has happened, but because they cannot believe that God would heal this man when everybody already knew that his blindness was punishment for sin. And so I wonder if all of this confusion, all of this resistance to accepting what Jesus had done, reveals that they were, in fact, loving this man as they loved themselves. I wonder if these neighbors, like so many people we meet today, had heard far more about sin and punishment, about God's anger and coming wrath, because they had stepped out of line, than they ever had about God's unending love. If you read through the scriptures, you will read countless stories that speak of that love, how God created us and forgives us over and over again, how God entered into creation and died on the cross, all because God loves us too much to give up on us. And yet, over the long history of the church, I am not sure that great, abundant love has been the overarching message that we have delivered out into the world. And it is not hard to find people today who have left churches of every tradition because all they have ever heard was that God was angry with them and how they must be good to avoid God's punishment. And so I think this is part of the reason why so many of us are uncomfortable speaking about our own need for repentance. In our gospel this morning, Jesus enters a community that is focused on sin and punishment, a community that feels justified, treating one of their own as if he were invisible. And Jesus tells us that he has come for judgment. But what does Jesus' judgment look like? It looks like healing. It looks like actually speaking with and listening to this man. It looks like dignity and relationship. Jesus' judgment does involve correction and warning and teaching, but it doesn't look like punishment, but it makes an already hard life even harder. It doesn't look like wrath and anger. Jesus' judgment simply names what is true, that this man's community have failed to see and love him, that they have been unable to see this man as God sees him. Jesus names their sin, their mistakes, and shows them the better way. Not because he hates them, but because he loves them. During Lent, God invites us into that very self-reflection to which Jesus called this community. God invites us to look at those moments where we too have failed to see the people in our midst. God invites us to admit those moments where we have failed to love as God loves. Not so that God can punish us, but so that God can love us, so that God can draw us ever deeper into relationship, where we will be greeted with joy, confident in God's forgiveness. Thanks be to God. Please stand and let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please adopt a position of prayer.
Lord, our shepherd, we thank you for leading us to still, restoring waters and guiding us on our Lenten paths. We continue to try to simplify and focus on you during Lent rather than becoming blinded by worries about the state of the world. Help us to see with the clarity you provide and to keep our focus and hopes pinned on you. In your loving kindness, Lord, we are grateful for our clergy, Michael, Anne, and Jerry, and for all those within our parish, deanery, and the diocese who remain faithful to your example of offering care and compassion to others. Thank you for the example of their welcoming attitudes, their positivity, and hopefulness. In your loving kindness, Lord,
restore us and hear our prayer.
Creator and healer, we pray for all those in positions of authority and leadership in Canada and around the world. During these times of aggression and conflict, we ask you to help us all see through the rhetoric that is presented to us. We pray for the world and all those who are suffering due to the ongoing wars, hoping for healing, restoration, and peace. In your loving kindness, Lord, we also pray for our neighbors, friends, and family living in London and Wortley Village and particularly those who are precariously housed or homeless, dealing with food insecurity or health and mental health challenges. Rather than judging like the Pharisees judging others, provide us with clarity as to how we might be part of a compassionate response. In our church community, we pray for Stavos, Terry, Cheryl, Lori, Brian, Allie, Joan, Julie, Mary, Imelda, Charles and family, Judy, tenants moving into Indwell's new location very soon. In your loving kindness, Lord, we remember those who have died and those who are near death, praying that your presence and reassurance is felt during these times. In your loving kindness, Lord, we thank you for the rest you offer us and the opportunity to come together in safety each week in this community. Help us never to take these opportunities or one another for granted. In your loving kindness, Lord, amen.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes sinners and invites them to this table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that you may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Please stand. And may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of light, your word brings us a new vision of your glory. Accept our offering of praise and thanksgiving through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth, because you bid your faithful people to cleanse their hearts and to prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that reborn through the waters of baptism and renewed in the Eucharistic mystery, we may be more fervent in prayer and more generous in the works of love. Therefore, we raise our voices to you in praise to proclaim the glory of your name. Thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, a death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command,
we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection,
offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your children. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church and the author of our salvation, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread. Let your church be the wheat which bears its fruit in dying. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Father, through your goodness, we receive your Son in word and sacrament. May we always have faith in him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. And we say together, glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. And may the God of mercy transform you by his grace, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.